We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com. Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended to heaven, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Well, good Wednesday morning, and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we want to focus today on witnessing, being the witnesses God wants us to be. Now, we always talk on Real Truth for Today about shine. That's how you live. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The shine is really, really important. You shall be holy, for I am holy, Jesus said. But then there's the share. That's when you open your mouth. That's when you tell people about Jesus. So we witness with our life and we witness with our lips. But many people feel unequipped to witness with their lips. They don't know what to say. How do you start a spiritual conversation, and how do you talk to people, especially in a post-Christian, really anti-Christian world? And so to help us with that conversation is Greg Kokel. He is the author of the brand new book, Street Smarts, Using Questions to Answer Christianity's Toughest Challenges. Just to let you know a little bit about Greg, he's the founder and president of Stand to Reason, and he founded that ministry in 1993. He received his master's in philosophy of religion and ethics at Talbot School of Theology, graduating with high honors, and his master's in Christian apologetics with honors from Simon Greenleaf University. And he serves as an adjunct professor in Christian apologetics at Biola University. He's the author of several books, the award-winning book, The Story of Reality, and the best-selling book, Tactics. And so Street Smarts is his brand new book. So, Greg, we welcome you to the program.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to chat with you this morning.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate all that you do, Greg, to equip the body of Christ. So tell us about Street Smarts. What was the impetus for you to write this book?
Well, thanks. I wrote a book, as you mentioned, called Tactics, and the subtitle of that book is A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. Well, Street Smarts is kind of an extension. It's a standalone book, but it takes a section of Tactics, which it reviews in the beginning of Street Smarts, so you don't need Tactics to use Street Smarts, but it takes a piece of the game plan, and it extends it massively to cover a whole bunch of different topics. So let me say a word about the game plan itself. You just mentioned a few moments ago about how we have to witness with our life and our lips. But yes, Witnessing with our life is not so hard for a lot of Christians because they're seeking to live a virtuous life before other people and honor God with that. And people see that, and that's great. But as you know, it's not enough. I mean, if being nice is the way that you witness and that's it, yeah, it's going to be pretty hard for anybody to out-nice a Mormon, right?
Right.
We have really tough competition, obviously, if that's the way we're going to go. We have to go and take the gospel, as you said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the world. But that's the difficulty, isn't it, Jeff? When people run into the cultural issues today, they're scared. And I understand that. They're scared because they don't know how to answer them. They don't know how to manage conversations. They don't have a plan. And I think they have an inaccurate understanding about how New Testament evangelism actually works. So when I wrote the book Tactics, I put together a game plan that's very, very simple. It's three different steps, and each of them is simple, but they're guided by a very important principle, or I should say maybe technique, and that is using questions. And I got the idea, it's been part of my life for a long time, but the way I characterize the idea is from a famous TV icon named Lieutenant Columbo, and many of you remember Lieutenant Columbo, right? You know, he's the bumbling detective. He doesn't know like what he's doing, and he comes in totally under the radar. He's scratching his head, mumbling to himself, "I don't know, something about this thing bothers me," you know, of thing. And then he starts asking questions, and he's gathering different types of information. Mm-hmm. And the answers to the questions are the things that allow him to begin to build the case, find out the details of the murder, because it's a murder mystery, and then go from there and start building an answer, so to speak, a case against some individual before he finally, you know, coup de grace at the end of the episode, you know, he gets his man. And that is a very, very effective way of navigating conversations that we have with non-Christians. And so we have, and we can get into more detail because we have time here to talk about it, but just in summary, there are three steps to the game plan. The first two steps are two different ways, let me back up. It's using questions to gather two different kinds of information. What a person's view is or what their challenge is, and secondly, why they think their view is true or their challenge is legitimate. Now, just to pause for a second, you realize if you're asking questions, you're not making statements. So you're not making your case. And if you're not making your case, that is, if you're not saying something is true against another person's view, you're not inviting them to contradict you and push back. They're not going to ask you for your reasons for their view. Well, why do you believe that? How do you know that's true? And this is what we hear from non-Christians a lot. Fair questions, but they're questions a lot of Christians simply can't answer, okay? But when you're asking questions, you're in a safe position. You're in the shallow end of the pool, so to speak. You're not taking any responsibility on yourself. You're just showing politely and in a casual, relaxed, conversational tone that you're interested in the other person's view. There's another thing that questions do that are tremendous. I'm just intimating right now, questions keep you safe, and that's what we want for Christians, especially those who are spooked, to go out in the street, so to speak, spiritually, and witness. Mm-hmm. What happens with questions, when you're asking the questions, is that you're in the driver's seat of the conversation. Jeff, let's just take our conversation right now. I'm doing all the work. I'm doing the heavy lifting, and you're relaxing, right? But the conversation is going in the direction that you determined for it, because you're the one who's asking the questions. And so that puts you in the driver's seat, even though you're not taking any pressure, okay? So that's kind of the heart and soul of the game plan. The third step of the game plan is what Street Smarts is focused in on. In the first book, Tactics, I go into detail about what that third step amounts to, and then the rest of the book is devoted to different kinds of maneuvers, so to speak, that you could use in conversation. The Street Smarts book, though, takes that third step of the game plan, and that step is using questions to make a point. And it takes that third step and kind of puts it on steroids, all right? Because now the point you're going to make is you're going to use questions, as the subtitle of the book says, to answer Christianity's toughest challenges, okay? So we're going to now go on the offensive in a gentle way, making the point against their view or against a challenge they've raised with Christianity, or implicitly then in favor of Christianity, but we're not going to be preaching at people. We're going to be using questions in a very artful way to maneuver, help a person see that his view is false, and parry maybe a challenge to Christianity with the whole goal, ultimately, to get the person thinking about Christianity. In other words, this is different from a lot of, say, evangelism techniques, Jeff. I'm not looking to close the deal, okay? I'm not looking to get a person to pray to receive Christ. That's harvesting, okay? I'm convinced that before there could be any harvest, there always has to be a season of, let's just call it gardening, all right? Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is garden. I think that the key to biblical evangelism is in what I call gardening, not harvesting. Jesus says, one sows and another reaps. That's in John chapter 4. And what I'm convinced about is if the gardening is done well, the harvest happens almost by itself. You don't need to challenge people to pray to receive Christ. You don't need to have an altar call. Now, I'm not against those things, but I notice that there's not a single altar call in the New Testament. It's not in the book of Acts. It's not in the book of in the Gospels. You don't have anybody challenged to pray to receive Christ as Lord and Savior anywhere in the Gospels or Acts. That's a new development. And when people think that that's what they have to do, that they've got to move to that thing, they got to hit a home run, they got to get the person to pray to receive Christ, I'll tell you what, most Christians aren't even going to start because that whole process freaks them out a little bit. So instead they stay on the bench. What I'm here to talk about with Tactics and especially Street Smarts, the new book, as you mentioned, is how Christians can do more effective gardening without taking hardly any risk on for themselves. I teach them in Street Smarts, step by step, issue by issue, how to do the spade work that in the long run is going to make the biggest effect in a person's life and can lead to a harvest in that person's life.
Amen. Well, okay, so we got about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes before break. But so if I'm sitting by you on an airplane, Greg, and we don't know each other, and you were going to strike up a conversation with me, let's role play a little bit to help people. So here I am. I'm sitting there. You're sitting there. You want to engage me. Let's go.
Sure. The first thing I'm going to do is say hi. and that just breaks the ice right there. You know, if you travel a lot, like I do, you know, everybody sits down next to you is weird, right? Or that's the way it seems. Mm-hmm. But the minute you start engaging them, they become a human being. And then we'll chat a little bit. And so I might say, hey, where are you headed? Well, I know where the plane's headed. I don't know where they're ultimately headed. And are you going home or are you going to work? You know, or you have vacation or something like that, just to draw them out. And so the whole thing there with a complete stranger is just to begin conversing with them, okay? Now, the first step of the game plan, very, very simple. I mentioned there are three steps in it. The very first step of the game plan is what I call gathering information. All I want to do is get the lay of the land. I need some intel. I'm not trying to get to the gospel. I'm not trying to pull out a tract. I'm not trying to push any spiritual concept on them. I don't know. Maybe they're a Christian. Maybe they're not interested in that kind of conversation. What I want to do is just start out friendly, start out nice with this, in a certain sense, at that point, with my life being nice and virtuous and friendly, though I'm not getting into a spiritual thing with my lips. Okay. And then I'm going to see where things go. Now, if they ask me where I'm going, what I'm doing, I'm going to work usually. Sometimes I'm going home, depending on the conversation, obviously. But they ask me what I do, and then I tell them a little bit about what I do. And at that point, I might say, what are your convictions on that kind of stuff? Because I'm talking about Christianity and spiritual things. I'm just mentioning that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And then I say, well, what are your convictions? Just very casually and not threatening. But notice the kind of question I just asked. I asked a question, well, the standard question is, what do you mean by that, okay? In other words, it's a general question to draw a person out regarding some specific issue to get their opinion on it. It's really good, especially if you're in some spiritual conversation and they're launching a challenge to you. So if somebody says, well, I'm an atheist. Mm-hmm. I say, oh, really? Well, that's interesting. What kind of atheist are you? All right. I want them to tell me more about their view. Okay, very simple. I know we're getting up against the clock here a little bit, so when we come back, I can tell you more how I prosecute those questions to keep the conversation moving, and then to see if I can begin to have a spiritual impact in that person's life in a relaxed, friendly manner.
Amen. We're talking to Greg Kokel. He's the author of the brand new book, Street Smarts, Using Questions to Answer Christianity's Toughest Challenges. And we're looking at the share portion of our witness, which is super important. Now, we have to have a life that backs it up, but we need to know what to say to engage a person in spiritual things so that we can make a difference, hopefully, in their lives and be used as a link in the chain of their salvation. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back. According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had financial security. And that's where preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Well, preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chances at life. When you support preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a baby. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, B-A-B-Y, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here talking to Greg Kokel. We're talking about his new book, Street Smarts, Using Questions to Answer Christianity's Toughest Challenges. Okay, Greg, so when we left, we were kind of doing a role play, and I'm an atheist on the airplane next to you, and you asked me the question, what kind of atheist I am. I would think that most atheists don't really know what to make of that. I would just say, well, I'm the kind that thinks believing in God is ridiculous and even damaging to society and to a person's health.
Okay, well, let's just pick it up from there. Okay, so now since we're following a real kind of conversation, you said that to me, okay? I'm going to be responding the way that I teach people to respond at Street Smarts, okay, to challenges like that, but I'm going to respond to your particular challenge.
Okay.
You just told me, well, I think that belief in God is ridiculous. So remember, the very first step of our game plan is to gather information, use some form of the question, what do you mean by that? We're not into step two or three. We're still at the first step, okay? You just said belief in God is ridiculous. So I'm going to ask, well, Jeff, what is ridiculous about belief in God? Okay, so I'm asking for clarification. Now, you get to tell me why it's ridiculous. Now, something interesting at this point, and I don't know how you're going to respond in a role play, Jeff, but and you can respond in just a moment. But a lot of times when you ask, by the way, that's a very common response from an atheist. And so what the Christian is thinking is they're thinking, well, I have to show him why it's not ridiculous. So I have to come up with an argument for the existence of God. And I've heard something about a cosmological argument, but I can't remember how that works. Or a design argument. I might say a few things. I don't know where to go. So the Christian feels stuck.
Yes.
And they think, gee, now I'm embarrassed. I don't know what to say. I wish I never opened my mouth, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
But the alternate is to just ask for more information, because you're not claiming that the belief in God is not ridiculous. That's not your claim. You haven't claimed anything. It's the atheist who's saying it is ridiculous. So if he's saying it is ridiculous, it's his job to show why it's ridiculous. And that's why just asking the question, well, what's ridiculous about it, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
there you go. I'm showing interest in his view. I'm giving him a chance to talk more. And I'm not disagreeing with him. I just want to know more detail about his objection. And what you're going to get a lot of times is just either silence, even from an atheist who talks a lot about his atheism.
Right.
You're going to get either silence or you're going to get a repetition. Well, it's stupid. It's just irrational. Well, that's kind of what you just said, Jeff. What I'm trying to figure out is what is stupid about it and what is irrational about it in your view. Mm-hmm. Now, what they might say is they might say, for example, well, there's no evidence. There's no evidence at all. And so, okay, I know one of the best evidences for God, I just happen to know this, is that the universe had a beginning. By the way, Christians are not the only ones who believe that. Everybody believes the universe had a beginning. And this brings us kind of to Big Bang cosmology, is the way some people express it. And I know that a lot of Christians are not comfortable with Big Bang. That's not a problem. Don't even worry about that terminology. The important thing is that not only does the Christian believe that the universe had a beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the atheist also believes the universe had a beginning. He just doesn't think that God made it, okay? So what I'm going to do at this point then with the atheist, who might say, well, there's no evidence for God, I may say, do you mind if I ask you a few questions? Okay, so now we're getting into the third step of the game plan. In the first step, I want to know what he believes. What do you mean by that? Okay, what do you mean? And I will model that question for you. In the second step, you're going to want to know how they came to that conclusion, so to speak. So what are your reasons that you think that it's ridiculous to believe in God, or it's irrational? Then he says, well, there's no evidence. Okay, great. So now what I want to do is I want to show him some evidence for God that he has to think about. But I need three things here. The first two steps are easy. Anybody could do it. We could have a Christian who became a Christian yesterday and can ask, well, what do you mean by that? Or how did you come to that conclusion, the first two steps of the game plan? They could draw another person out and let them talk. Doesn't mean they can answer the challenge. Maybe they can't. That's okay. At least they're having a nice conversation, and they're drawing a person out, and they're getting an education about somebody else's view, even if they can't answer it yet. Mm-hmm. The third step requires you to know something. Because in the third step, we're going to use questions to make a point. Now, in this conversation that we've just kind of started, Jeff, with the atheist, the point we're going to make is there is evidence for God that they should consider. Okay, so you need to know what the point is, what evidence there is for God in order to go further. All right, and then what we're going to do is we're going to use our questions to lay pieces on the table to help get to the point. So this one's very simple. So let me just role model it for you. Okay? So I say to the atheist, well, he says, well, there's no evidence for God. That's why he believes it's ridiculous to believe in God. Okay, fine. Let me ask, do you mind if I ask you a few questions? No, not at all. And by the way, I did this particular conversation with a student at the University of Ontario. And this whole conversation, the model conversation is in the book. There's lots of model conversations like this to help Christians get going. So this was also in the book, Street Smarts. So I said, first question, and it's a very simple one. Do you think that things exist? And he said, yeah, this microphone exists. Okay, great. I can work with the microphone. Second step. The things that exist, have they always existed? He said, no, they didn't always exist. They came into existence at the Big Bang. Okay, so that's where he's going with it. All right, great. I agree with you. Things haven't always existed. All right, they came into existence sometime in the past. Notice I don't have to worry about the age of the Earth issue. That's not a concern here. It's just that things came into existence. And then I asked the final question. And this is the one that counts, I mentioned to him. Okay, what caused everything to come into existence? Okay, and now there's only two options. The atheist, and I tell him that. Either something caused it, or nothing caused it. No thing the universe just came into existence, popped into existence with no cause for no reason. All right. Now the atheist at an impasse. He's got a question. He's got an answer. And there's only two answers, something or nothing. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want to say something because the something would have to be outside of the natural universe. And he didn't believe there's anything outside of the natural universe. Right. It's going to have to be something really powerful and really smart. It's going to have to be some kind of person, like an agent, because only persons initiate causes. They start things happening, right? Mm-hmm. And so he didn't want to go there because that sounds too much like God, and he's an atheist. But what's the only alternative open to him? He's got to say that the universe popped into existence with no cause for no reason, right? Well, that's worse than magic.
Right.
In magic, you pull a rabbit out of a hat, right? The magician does. But in this case, there's no magician, and right. There's no hat. There's just a rabbit, right? The universe. And so this is where I want to get him thinking. I'm not trying to prove God exists. What I'm trying to show is God is the best explanation for, in this case, the origin of the universe, all right? Notice what I've done here, Jeff. I have taken his challenge. I've used some questions to get some information from him. And if I just put the information on the table, if I said, well, things exist, the world exists, but it didn't always exist, it must have had a beginning sometime in the past, and it must have had a beginner, and God is the beginner. Notice I put like a bunch of pieces on the table, and every time I make these statements, he could disagree with me. And then all we do is get in an argument. But right. Instead of making the statements, I asked the questions. And the questions are questions he answered, and he put the pieces on the table. In other words, I have enlisted the atheist as an ally to help me show that atheism has a real weak point. All right. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to prove God. I'm trying to show that God is the smartest option of the two options. And that's what I call putting a stone in his shoe. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever had a stone in your shoe, Jeff, but, you know, it's not the end of the world, but it's kind of annoying, right?
Sure.
You got to deal with it. And what I'm trying to do with all the challenges that might be offered, and in the street smarts, there's challenges on atheism and abortion and the problem of evil and the challenges with the Bible and Bible and science and gender and sex and marriage and Jesus. All of these kinds of things that people face all the time with challenges against Christianity, I give the substance of here's what's wrong with it. So they're getting a teaching in apologetics. Here's where the ideas falter. But then I give the model dialogues with the questions. Here's the first question you can ask. Here's the next question when they give a common sense response like I just role played for you. And the next one. And then here's the final question to get them thinking. I put a stone in their shoe, and that's all I'm concerned with. That's what gardening is. And you could use that with almost every single challenge that you face as a Christian in a relaxed way, in a comfortable way, to get the other person thinking. And all of the details are right there in the book, Street Smarts.
Okay, so Greg, in that role play conversation, so you put the pieces on the table, you're Lieutenant Columbo. Where do you stop? Where do you land the plane in that conversation? You can encounter somebody that's pretty open. They're not necessarily an atheist. They're an agnostic, or they've been hurt by the church or something like that. So they're reticent, sure. But they're not closed. And there is an opportunity to lead that person to Christ. So how do you navigate those waters?
Okay, in my experience, if somebody's gung-ho, ready to go with the gospel, then I'm just going to keep moving with the opportunity that I have. In this particular role play, we're dealing with an atheist, all right, who's hostile. Remember, the way you characterize it, the atheist said, this is ridiculous, believing in God. This person isn't close to receiving Christ. So what I'm just going to do is try to move them a little closer.
Sure.
With somebody that's close to receiving Christ, I'm going to keep going and then explain the gospel if they don't understand it. What do you, and I might ask some questions about their moral life. Okay. I did this with an attorney once. I said, because he challenged me on this. I didn't know he was an attorney. I just asked him if, I said, do you think people who do bad things ought to be punished? Okay. He said, yeah, I'm a prosecuting attorney, so yes, I do. Okay, good. I believe that too. Here's the second question. I said, have you ever done any bad things? Now, that's personal, but it's a friendly conversation. He admits it. He said, yeah, of course I've done bad things. I said, so have I. Now, look at where we've come, just in two questions, I told him. We both believe that people who do bad things ought to be punished, and we believe that we've done bad things. Do you know what I call that? He said, what? I said, I call that bad news. Notice we get the bad news first. Then yes. I could say, are you interested in a pardon for the bad things that you've done? Okay, I'm not using overly spiritual religious language, but I'm talking about sin, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about forgiveness. That's what I'm leading into. But you see, now I have a chance to talk about the good news, because the person I'm talking to has already admitted the bad news regarding him. But he only admitted it because I asked a question. And this is when you move closer to the gospel. You want to make sure that people understand the problem before you give them the solution.
Right.
And so that's the direction I'm going to go with somebody that's more open to receive Christ. And if they are already, and look, at this weekend we got a big conference with 2,000 young people for Stand to Reason here in Southern California. And I closed the whole event with what might be called an altar call, but I'm not asking people to come forward. But what I say to them is, you know you're guilty. You know it. I don't have to tell you that. And now you know the answer. And so here's what you need to do. You need to bend your knee. You need to beat your breast. You need to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Mm-hmm. Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Just like the guy in the parable Jesus said in the back of the synagogue, you know, the tax gatherer. Mm-hmm. And I said, then you need to get up and follow Jesus. You have a new life. Now you follow him and you don't stop. Okay, there's my close. And I leave it up to them to make that decision, because now they're ready for it. So if I have to go the distance all the way to a point of decision, that's the way I do it. And I use language that I get from the New Testament, because that's the way it was done there. So you can take it at any stage that you want. Most people who are not Christian are in the process of maybe thinking about it, and they need more spade work. They need more right. watering, more fertilizing, more weeds to be pulled, that kind of thing. And that's where I think the bulk of evangelism is.
Yes, that's a good point. I heard it described this way, Greg. You know, we're links in a chain as we're witnesses for Christ. We probably aren't going to be the one that's going to pray with them to receive Christ, although that does happen, obviously. And the more you witness, the more it happens. But a lot of times it's just putting a pebble in somebody's shoe to make them uncomfortable with their belief system to know that it's got problems. And they have questions they can't answer, too. So very good. Well, we're talking to Greg Kokol, and the book is called Street Smarts, Using Questions to Answer Christianity's Toughest Challenges. I love, Greg, how you have the picture of Lieutenant Columbo there in your ad for the book, because many of us remember him. Yeah, he did. He was dumb as a fox. Lieutenant Columbo was smart. But he always acted like he didn't know what was going on. And so we can use that to our advantage. And we do need to study to show ourselves approved and to be ready to open our mouths and share the gospel. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Greg Kokol. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the program, Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Greg Kokol about his brand new book, Street Smarts. The Lord tells us in Acts 1:8 that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, as he told the disciples. He was speaking to them, but it's true for us. You shall be my witnesses, he says, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now, Greg, I feel like the challenge for Christians is to go from being a witness that just tells what he's seen and heard to being what we would call maybe in the court of law an expert witness, people who understand and know things and have have studied. That is the goal. You're obviously an expert witness because you've studied these things and you write about them. What would you say to the average Christian that just says, "Oh, you know, I'd be so nervous. I don't know these things. How would I do this?" What would be your encouragement to them?
Yeah, that's a great question, Pastor Jeff. And I guess what I would respond is that the Christian does not have to be the expert in all the issues. All right. In 2 weeks, I have my 50th spiritual anniversary, right? My spiritual birthday. I've been doing this for half a century, and I've been working out ways of understanding the challenges and how to respond to them, okay? So I'm able to deal with lots more things that most people can't deal with just because I have experience. And sometimes this is what you do. I have my own radio show. In fact, I'm right there on AFA on Sunday afternoons after Frank Turek, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I do is answer the challenges that Christians are facing they don't know how to answer. So there are resources that help us to get the information with regards to a particular challenge. And we learn what those challenges are by having conversations, okay? Many times you're not going to run into every single challenge that a person could possibly raise. Mm-hmm. It's the challenges usually are like there's a handful of common ones, and then you pretty much run the course. And if you know how to deal with some atheistic challenges, the problem of evil, for example, mm-hmm. maybe some challenges about the Bible and a few more, you're pretty much going to be able to handle most of the issues. Abortion is another big one. Well, that's the kinds of challenges that I handle at Street Smarts. In my and I give the background. I give how the challenges fall short, and then the dialogues that you can move through in a very safe fashion. So when I talk to Christians who are beginners and are nervous about going out, I tell them, first, I understand why you're nervous. I get it. The disciples were nervous. The Apostle Paul was scared in Corinth. That's why mm-hmm. Jesus had to appear to him and say, "Paul, don't be afraid any longer." So that's mm-hmm. natural. But the more that we get the answers to the challenges, the less we're afraid of the test itself. We know the answers. And so this is a process. You just start with wherever you're at, and you start with those first two questions. What do you mean by that? How did you come to that conclusion? Or some variation. You're a student of the other person's views. And then as you learn more about what their challenges are, then you can pursue the answers. If you read Street Smarts, I'm going to give you the answers. I'm going to give you the questions that you can employ to expose the weakness or the flaw. So for the beginner, my encouragement is don't worry about being an expert. You have a whole lifetime to grow and get better at this. Just start at the beginning. And Street Smarts helps them to do that in a really safe fashion.
So, Greg, what would you say if you're on the airplane and you're next to a person from the Middle East and you ask them about their life and they're a committed Muslim? And so you have somebody that has a strong belief in a false God. Your tactic is the same. You're asking lots of questions. Correct?
Sure. And, I'll give you an example that's actually in a different book that I wrote called The Story of Reality, and it's the same kind of circumstance. Okay, there was a Muslim woman sitting next to me. We started talking. Now, in her case, she was expressing to me some of her concerns about Islam, all right? And she was wondering, you know, maybe there's some problems here because of all the terrorism and stuff like that. And she was being very candid with me. And I said, let me tell you about the difference between the God of Christianity and the God of Islam. Okay, they both are holy gods. They both require holy behavior. They both are going to judge immorality. Okay, let me ask you a question, I said to her. I said, now here's the question. I'm asking questions to get information to be able to make my point about salvation in Jesus, how that's unique in Christianity over and against Islam. forgiveness is offered in a very special way. I said, if our plane was attacked by terrorists, okay, and they came down the aisle and she was sitting on the aisle seat, and they pulled you out and they were going to drag you out on the tarmac and slit your throat in front of the TV cameras, and I knew that was happening, and I put my hands in front of you, and I told the terrorists, don't take her, take me instead. What would you think about that? And she said, I can't imagine anyone doing that for me. And I said, well, that's exactly what Jesus has done for you. What I said is what God has done to you. Yahweh, not Allah. Okay, Yahweh, not Allah. Jesus, not Muhammad. God came down from heaven and took on humanity to die on a cross to take your sin and die so you wouldn't have to. Now, there was a, notice what happened there, okay? I don't know where I'm going to go if I'm talking to a Muslim. I don't know what the challenge is. Sometimes they're challenging us about the Trinity, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have dialogues in Street Smarts about the Trinity, especially as challenged by a Muslim, and that's very standard, okay? In this case, she was raising a question, and I was trying to show her the difference between the way forgiveness happens in Christianity, which secures her freedom, versus what happens in Islam, which doesn't secure her freedom necessarily. And so I went right to the cross by using an illustration, but I asked her some questions to make the illustration reasonable. This woman was absolutely floored, okay? She was so taken with this. She had never heard that before, okay? But notice, I didn't preach at her. Mm-hmm. I explained some things about the cross, but I used some questions to set up an illustration, the very same way that Jesus did it, you know, and many, many times in the gospel, so that then I could close off and get to the gospel proper, salvation through Jesus, through the death of Christ on the cross, that she could benefit from. I got there in a very simple way, in language she could understand. And like I said, she was floored. If I said, you need to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, she wouldn't have really known what those terms meant. Instead, I used an illustration to make those terms real to her, and mm-hmm. when the change went into the meter, she was stunned. Now, she wasn't going to become a Christian right there on the plane, probably. Right. Islam especially is a hard thing to change because there's so much opposition from family. She needed to understand more about Christianity and be so convinced that she was willing to face the rejection of her family. But what I did is I put a stone in her shoe. In this case, it was a big stone. It was the gospel proper in language she could understand. And that, I think, Pastor Jeff, is the value of Street Smarts.
Amen. Well, Greg, have you found, as I have, when you start asking people about why they believe what they believe, whatever it is they believe, they don't really have good answers for that because they haven't really thought through, why do I believe this? Has that been the case for you?
Absolutely. In fact, I sometimes make a joke. I say to audiences, when you ask questions like these, you're going to get what I call the Simon and Garfunkel moment. I mean, these guys are two musicians from the 60s that a lot of people still remember, but they wrote a song called The Sounds of Silence, and that's what you get. You ask people even what they believe, and you get silence because they don't even know how to say it, what they mean. They don't know how to characterize it. You ask them why they believe that, how did they come to that conclusion, what are the reasons for that. You also get The Sounds of Silence. It's amazing how little people have thought about their objections. And just by asking them for the reasons, not even making a case for our side, you're putting a stone in their shoe if they can't answer that. They realize that they don't know. Notice how the pressure in this, that using these questions, is almost always on the non-Christian. It is not on the believer. And that's why I think Street Smarts is a tremendous tool for people who are especially timid, they want to get into discussions. They know they're supposed to get into discussions, but they have a hard time doing it, sharing the gospel, talking about Jesus. This tool will get them into play with a tremendous amount of safety, but they will see how powerful it is to get people thinking about the gospel.
Amen. So where can people get a copy of this, Greg?
Well, they could go to our website at Stand to Reason, and that's the organization that I represent. That website is str.org, and it's just chock full of all kinds of things that they could, that will help them as followers of Christ in sharing their faith. Okay, but the quickest way probably to get it is just go to Amazon, you know, Amazon.com, and type in my name, K-O-U-K-L. K-O-U-K-L, because if they type in Street Smarts, they're going to get a bunch of kung fu books, you know, be out there, but they got to find it, you know, with all the others. They put my name in, they're going to get the tactics book, that's going to show up, the Story of Reality, which I just mentioned, and the Street Smarts book. It's red. It stands out really well. Using questions to answer Christianity's toughest challenges, and then they'll have the book by tomorrow.
Amen. Very good. Well, so what do you hope is the takeaway for the reader? I mean, I read your book. What do you hope I glean from it?
What I hope to have a reader's takeaway is a confidence, actually two kinds of confidence. First kind of confidence is the confidence that Christianity is actually true, because there's a lot of reasons in the book that I give to the reader why atheism is false and compromised, why the, how the problem of evil can be answered, why pro-choice view is false and the pro-life view is true, and why science and Bible are not in conflict, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So they're going to get confidence in Christianity. But what they're also going to get, Pastor Jeff, is they're going to get the confidence to go out amongst what they thought were giants, you know, and the giants will have been shrunk down to size, because now they know how to maneuver with questions that keep them safe while they talk to other people about things that really matter, the most important things. I want them to have confidence in Christianity, and then in Christianity proper, and the confidence to begin conversations with people using simple questions that don't put them in the hot seat.
Amen. Okay, last question, Greg, for those that maybe are not as familiar with you. How did you go about becoming a Christian apologist? What was the pathway for you?
Well, you know, I think it's like a lot of people, it's just out of necessity. If you're going to follow the Great Commission, which is to make disciples, obviously evangelism is the first step to making disciples, okay? You're going to have to get out, and you're going to have to talk to people, like you said at the beginning of the program. The minute you start talking to people, especially in this culture, they're going to push back because they don't want to bend the knee. They don't want to sacrifice their own autonomy. They don't want to give up to the lordship of Christ. And so they're going to push back with lots of challenges, okay, more now than ever before. So in my case, I thought, I got to learn how to answer the challenges. So I read people like Josh McDowell and Francis Schaeffer way back in the 70s, and John Montgomery, and folks like that, Walter Martin. Those are the guys that were around 50 years ago making the case. Now you've got dozens and dozens of authors and podcasts and blogs and all kinds of things to use. So there are lots of resources, including Stand to Reason, str.org, that allows people to get the information they need. I became an apologist somewhat out of necessity, because people needed answers. I needed answers. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have answers dealing with my own doubts as a Christian, and that's true for every Christian. Everybody has doubts. So that helped me to strengthen my own convictions. It also gave me more tools to deal with the challengers. But when I took the step into the tactical game plan and the street smarts, that's when I began employing questions as the main means of making my case for Christ. And boy, did that simplify my life. Readers have told me this has changed my life, and I'm not surprised. Using questions to make a difference.
Amen. Well, Greg, thank you so much for being my guest. It's been a wonderful hour, and I appreciate you and appreciate your ministry. Pick up a copy of Street Smarts, Using Questions to Answer Christianity's Toughest Challenges. It'll make a difference big time in your witnessing. Well, God bless you, my brother, and thank you for tuning in today to From His Heart. Not From His Heart. I'm the founder of From His Heart, but this is Real Truth for Today, and this has been a great discussion. So, Greg, may the Lord continue to use you. May He bless this book and use it in people's lives to empower them to be the witnesses that He wants us to be. Well, as we have always closed the program out with two words, shine and share. So this program is really focused in on share, how you can share. And you can do it by asking questions and being curious about where another person is. And hey, as you do that, as you engage people, you will be amazed at how many spiritual conversations come from that, and God will use you as His witness. So God bless you. We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.